everybody today?
It's a beautiful day in Grants Pass.
So far, so good.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today is October 9th, 2018, Tuesday. It is 2 p.m. and we're assembled in the VCC conference room for a legal counsel update. President Commissioner Harris, Commissioner Morgan, Commissioner DeYoung. Item one on our agenda today is agreement to rent property at 1112 Northeast D Street for Community Corrections Program application for real property tax exemption.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Okay, so the title just about sums up the entire situation. I did want to keep this item moving. I appreciate the board convening today. I almost canceled the meeting because the agenda was so light, but this is one of the items that we're going to keep moving. So it is exactly a fixed term rental agreement and the accompanying real talk property tax exemption. Since it's a real property transaction, that's why the board is engaged.
Okay. Is 1112 Northeast D Street? That's that way, correct?
Yeah, it's a house that is being used for transition housing. It is just past 11th Street.
Okay, all right.
If you're coming out of the parking lot behind where the...
Behind the, by the theater.
You're staring at it to the right.
Okay, all right.
It's got a cool fence with some cutouts in the middle of the fence. But they've been a very gracious tenant, and the folks there... I want to say that's the specialty programs, the AIP folks, but it may not be. But they have a house manager and such, so.
That wouldn't surprise me if it was AIP there, but I couldn't confirm that.
So what are they asking the board to, it's not our property.
But we lease it.
So, okay, it's a lease. It's a rental agreement.
They don't want to pay the taxes because it's not for profit.
Are we presently leasing it? Yes.
We are and have been.
Yeah, I think this is the third year. And so last year the board, you signed it last year.
I know, I better have.
As the chair, you signed it.
It's property that is on for 8 years.
You signed it as the chair.
Yeah,
you signed the exemption.
Remember.
So we have it set up this time for the chair. The only thing is that I didn't realize this till this morning, that the application, which I didn't tell you yet, the application's new because the law changed a little bit. So it is going to require the lessor to sign it to, and it's just a signature by both parties that say that because they're getting a tax exemption, the county's rent is below market rate. Because you can't have it both ways, essentially, if that makes sense. So the original that I have here will still need the lessor's signature. But last year, you did take a motion and vote to sign it at our meeting.
Yeah, that's fine. I'd move to approve.
I'll second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
So it's for the chair's signature.
Yep.
Do you want me to show you where to sign it? Because it's kind of weird.
The next. That takes care of item number one?
That does take care of item number one.
Perfect. Item number two?
Are you okay for us to move on to item number
yeah,
two?
Yeah, I'll just have
okay.
to do that.
Okay, yeah. We'll yeah. Put a sticker on it. I'll do it up here. Item number two, weekly business session item, order number 2018-XXX in the matter of sale of county land remaining unsold following sheriff's auction on May 30th, 2018 and quitclaim deed.
You jumped ahead this morning. This is the one we were thinking of that's right in between two properties that we're selling to some neighboring properties. You referenced something along that line this morning at the weekly business session. So this is the one. We've got two pieces of property that are being bought together by one neighboring property owner, and we'd like to move that forward to the weekly business session next week.
Okay. This isn't the one we did today?
Nope.
Okay,
well. Well, we sold one parcel today.
Correct. Right. That was the Demery parcel. This is up on Stonebrook in Merlin.
Okay. All righty. Any questions, problem with moving that to the WBS?
No.
Commissioner Morgan?
That's great. Thank you.
Perfect. We'll do that. Wow. Moving right along. Item three, draft cooperative service agreement with USDA Wildlife Services.
This situation is moving relatively fast. I received information this morning from public health director that he was told by USDA this, well, they were a little bit murky as to whether this is in fact the contract that they are currently using, and so we're not not presenting this as being the one, should the board even decide to pursue this course, as being the one that would require a signature. That said, this being a an agreement with the United States Department of Agriculture, we would look to the board to either approve, well, before, if the board wished to enter into this agreement, then it would involve a couple of different methods, one of which could be to approve the public health director to sign on behalf of the county, if that's something you want to do.
Is USDA involved because these are farm animals?
Yeah.
That are victims? Or like a sheep and...
It's a funding element that I think is the nexus for USDA, and I think the purpose for the funding partnership is the agricultural element. So it doesn't have to solely be that. That's why they probably only contribute a portion of the total contract. But I think it's a nexus. I happened to be at a livestock farm auction on Saturday, and it was surprising the number of people who talked about their livestock being negatively impacted or killed or damaged in this. So I gotta say that my opinion changed. That I do think that it's reached that threshold of countywide significance, that it is in our interest to participate in this in a fashion. I'm not sure, I haven't read this thoroughly enough to know whether or not this is the means to facilitate that, or if it's a contract with a neighboring county that they've already gone through this thing and we kind of subcontract from them. I'm not sure that there isn't, with the $52 an hour and it coming from, you know, one end of the county or the other, there's an advantage to saying that we've got a contract with whoever is closer. If it's a Jackson County nexus in the Williams-Murphy area, then there's no reason why somebody from Douglas County should be driving an hour through Josephine County, an hour through potentially Douglas County, just to get to the job.
I thought that's what they had at their, by doing the case-by-case basis, they could use any of the neighboring counties to send.
I don't know. I don't know that that's what this does, but I think that we should pursue something that does that.
And one of the things that I was in question about is the people I went out and saw yesterday, they purchased these two great big dogs, you know, to guard their livestock and whatnot. But the neighbors have had household pets that were killed by the same cougar or group of cougars or whatever it is. That, you know, I don't know where USDA would get involved in house pets unless, and the question that I always have is that cougars are a game animal. When I go buy a cougar tag and I ask the young lady,
This says coyotes too.
Hmm?
It's not just cougar.
Okay. Cougars are a different level than coyotes. If predators are predators, but cougars are a game animal, so you don't just go blast them whenever you want to, shoot them, dispatch them whenever you want to, because there is a season on them. And the season is there because of reproductive cycles and so on and so forth. I don't know. I haven't looked at it yet myself. I'm just bringing up the fact that Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife collects a fee for that cougar tag for wildlife management. Shouldn't they have some sort of a dog in the fight, so to speak, of saying, you know, we're going to cover part of this?
I don't totally know. Agree.
I don't know why.
I don't understand. That's the point I've been making. Why is it the county's responsibility ever? We just absorb this thing like so many other things that nobody's taking care of, but we don't collect a fee for this. We don't have, there is no nexus. And I might disagree on the interpretation
of the charter.
Mm-hmm. I can see that going both ways.
I can't.
There is no requirement of the charter for us to enter into to pay $70,000 of a $100,000 total compensation package for a trapper on retainer.
Yeah.
But so we have to figure out something. We send a letter to Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife and hold them accountable. You collect fees to do this. It needs to be done in our county. We've got substantial needs here. What are you doing for the fees you are collecting out of a very outdoor, sporty, recreation, you know, area?
The Oregon Department, or the Oregon Game Warden, OSP Game Warden, was out to see these folks.
Yeah.
And he said there's, you know, he had some suggestions of where to put the game cameras and this, that, and the other thing, but that was it. He was under no obligation to fix it, cure it, pay for it, or anything else.
Does he have authority to take when necessary? I mean, you can't. But does he?
I don't know that.
He might not even be
that I can't tell
authorized.
You.
It's like, I got to apply for a permit just like everybody else for a mm-hmm. or this guy.
So, and the key here is that it's a game animal. To just say, okay, we're not, I haven't read the draft. I apologize for that. I've been
it just came in yesterday.
Really so busy. So I want to go over that. But there's a real distinct difference between a coyote and even a bobcat. Bobcats are furberry animals, and there, but there's no, you can trap bobcats whenever you want because it's in the trapping side of game.
So rules. This does not actually refer to cougars in any way. This says, specific goal one, to provide direct assistance for Josephine County for wildlife conflicts or damage, and to provide assistance in the form of educational information. The objective is to provide professional wildlife management assistance to reduce or manage damage caused by coyotes and other nuisance wildlife to protect property and human health and safety. It doesn't say anything about cougars.
Okay.
Unless they are considered other nuisance wildlife.
I can clarify with the USDA that that is in fact the case.
My also concern is under number three, under plan of action, is we'll bill Josephine County quarterly for actual costs incurred in providing services not to exceed $10,000. I was understanding it was an annual not to exceed $10,000, but this is billing quarterly. So I just want to make sure to clarify it's not $10,000 per quarter. Thank you.
Yes.
Clarification.
Excellent concern.
I just wonder if we need to put like an OSP officer who's in, who does this kind of thing in a room. Or the Department of Fish and Wildlife guy that came out, a handful of people in the room and say, clarify some responsibilities.
These are
for
yeah.
us.
We have questions.
Because I don't want to go sign a contract with somebody, and there should be somebody that we just have to ask at ODF&W to say, hey, you need to appropriate somebody down in this region to handle this stuff. And maybe doing it on a, you know, bringing it together in a regional capacity with Douglas and Jackson.
Well, my bigger concern, I forwarded you the email that we got at the BCC where they now say they're going to citizens send us the bill for their lost livestock. We're not responsible for people's lost livestock.
We do have a fund, right? Isn't there a fund?
That's the dog control fund.
Oh, okay.
We did look that up. Mr.
That's
Webster,
good. That's
so he's prepared to reply okay. if and when that comes in.
Okay.
And I'll assist.
Because there is effort. There is that dog takes
it. Yeah.
We don't advertise that, but yes,
no.
That's
well,
accurate.
If somebody was knowledgeable about that and instead of a career, they said my neighbor's dog.
Yeah. Well, I got a phone number of a guy yesterday that called and he said, please call me with, you know, the concerns about the cougar predation. So he's from Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife and I did not get a chance to call him back. I want to talk to him, reach out
yeah.
to him. I know Marty Marchant of OSP. I want to reach out to him because I think there's just some areas here that aren't going to make sense if we, you know, especially where it comes to the cougar being a game animal. When it's a game animal, then, it, you know, you want control of how that animal is pursued, then you got some responsibility for its conduct, I think.
Yeah.
In my mind.
So
I don't know that.
What if we petition the state to say, hey, you know, the number of cougar tags you issue in Southern Oregon is 10 per county or something like that. That is not cutting it. You need, you know, it needs to be 20.
Well,
I don't know how that system works, but if you're going to pursue it on the game.
Yeah. Well, I've said it before, because when I first got my first cougar tag, there was 50 in the whole state. If you did, you don't do it again. When I went and bought one the other day, she said, do you want to buy two?
So they're giving them out.
Two. Same amount. They're $18 a piece. Give me $36 or I'll issue you two cougar tags at once. I said, this isn't salmon. He said, no, so evidently I think that's...
They've adjusted.
That's their Fish and Wildlife saying, now we've got a problem here. Let's encourage people. Next step will probably be a bounty like they used to do on coyotes when they...
Well, we did that. The county did that. So
yeah,
is it our...
Yeah.
Is it our nexus? You know, is how many bounties could you put on $10,000 a year and say... We'll give you $100 for every cougar tail.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't want any.
It's just an analogy.
It's
not
Lily's
a literal interpretation.
With cougar tails hanging off the antenna.
Taking
no.
a system of the past.
Not good.
They used to give a bounty of $6 for coyote ears or something like
ten.
That. $10 for paws.
Used to
I don't
pay
know
gas.
What it was.
Used to pay my gas.
We used to do
room.
That. Mm. County did. We have record of doing that.
But I think that there's, because of the game animal element, I would be concerned about how we approach it.
Okay.
So So that's all. I just want questions. I have questions that need to be answered about the game animal side of it.
Well,
if it were coyotes, I wouldn't worry about any of it.
I don't think Beagle's issues is coyotes. I think it's larger. Mm-hmm. It's cougars.
And I say, because it's an eight game animal, it's controlled. And I can't just go pick one up when I find it on the highway and throw it in the back of my truck and say I'm going to go to the taxidermy. But I can't do that. I'm not allowed to do
that. Your personal relationship? Mine's pretty good.
My taxidermy and I would go way back. Yeah. The taxidermist.
Toby was hunting on
and I call him a taxidermy, so that's okay. But it's a slip of the tongue. But anyway, I can't just go do that because it's a controlled animal. It's you have to have certain licensing to do that. So
we do have citizens that are asking us to have something in place. So I would love for you to follow up and get a hold of ODFW and that this week.
So
you're going to have some time since we're giving
you
all that.
By the time you get back, I'll have a full report.
So can we do this on Tuesday next week? And give us the time to go through and see if there's anything else we have concerns and get them to...
Yeah, Wally and I will get together. We'll just get this. We'll get it put together, have more information for you by then.
We'll do all the above. And I'm going to, like I said, Mr. Weber contacted me and said, right after he received this from USDA, they said, oh, wait, we think we have a new form or message to that effect. And so
little pieces of information, one thing at a time, and I don't want to jump too quick and then miss something.
Okay.
Thank you, Wally.
And the only concern I have about the other counties is they're not, since the county contracted with these people, the county might not be able to authorize them to come over to our area in their contract, that because they still work for USDA or whoever else. So that's why they're telling us this is an option.
I think the other counties would be receptive to renegotiating that contract for broadening the area if we were going to partner in that compensation.
Okay.
You know, because maybe they don't need them full-time, but this is what the contract, you know, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be nice if we bought 25 or 30% of Douglas's, we bought 25% of theirs, save them some money, because I know they've reduced it from 2-1 or 3-2 in Jackson County in the past. So that seems more efficient to me from a regional standpoint. And I'm
like the term on the contract, I look at this, and one of the things, of course, one of the letters said that I stated was because of the fire, but one of the things that happened, it's a little more complicated than that. Fire drove the deer down out of the high country, plus it's extremely dry year. Deer run out of water up high. They migrate to the lower part. The acorns this year aren't high. The acorns are all down low, but it's twice as many acorns this year down low than there is up high. It tells us something about what kind of winter we're going to have. But, however, those cougars follow the deer. Their deer are their main... That's their main diet. And when the deer come down and then people put a salt lick out their yard and they're in the yard because of apples are falling now, acorns are falling now, the deer hanging around residences. And meanwhile, the cougar, that's his dinner bell is the deer.
I have a friend in Weimar that's having an issue with all their chicken. The chicken coop, the cougar keeps getting in there. And Jackson County has somebody and they still are having issues. So it's, you know.
It is something there's some things we can do about. The lady that I went to yesterday, you know what, the only way you're going to do take care of that cougar is to dispatch it. There's no doubt about that. It now has got a real, really, really good taste bud for sheep and goats. And she has a fence about as high as that door. She put an electric wire across the top of it. She goes, well, I put electric wire up there. It's 46,000 volts in that wire. And I said, you're not grounding the cat. The bird lands on the wire, he feels nothing. The cat is off the ground, he's not grounded anymore. He climbs over the wire, he's not making a circuit to ground. Put the wire about this high up, so when he grabs onto the pole to go up it, that's where he gets nailed. Because his two hind wheels are on the ground, and his two front wheels are on the wire, he's gonna hurt. But not up there, the cat isn't 8 foot tall.
What are we talking about, electrical wires and cats? Sorry.
Because she has an electric fence on the top of her fence. She put an electric wire up there, and she says, he just hopped right over that. I said, no kidding. He's like a bird. There's
makes
no
sense.
Circuit. Okay. Anyway, we gave her some ideas.
We'll work on the matter.
Thank
and have
you
something
very much.
For the board as soon as possible.
Appreciate it. Yeah, we'll have it by the time they get back, which is next week sometime. We'll
yes.
be able to get all of our answers by then, hopefully. Item number 4 is additional subject matters from commissioners.
So under this, I would bring Sarah up. You guys asked for Tuesday to be brought back for the position. And so
Well, let's finish. If there's anything with legal counsel, we can dismiss them because it's not relevant for Sarah's discussion. I have a couple things. There's a gentleman, Mr. Lockman, who's contacted the board and I believe legal counsel. I followed up with Rob as liaison to the Solid Waste Agency, requesting that they address it at their week, their meeting next week, and to work it out. If they can't work it out, it needs to come back to the governing bodies, and the council for the Solid Waste Agency within the city limits. I think have you seen Mr. Lockman's letter? The second thing, I just wanted to bring that to the attention of the board that I was working on that ordinance. So in the Mining Advisory Committee meeting that I was just in, there was made reference of a potential legislative request to remove certain portions of the Galise drainage, setting it aside is either a mineral withdrawal or some other unique designation for road removal, decommissioning and such. I've passed, in three boards ago, I passed a resolution prohibiting the expansion or conversion of federally managed lands for, I don't know, I'd have to get out that resolution.
I think I know what you mean.
You know what I mean. But what I want to do is I want to pass an ordinance prohibiting the decommissioning of roads and expansion of any new state or federal designation that negatively impacts the access to fight forest fires, forest fire suppression.
Do we have an advisory question for that?
We do.
Subject?
I'd like to draft one in preparation, and it's a little weird to be asking this question, and I really don't care what, I don't know that I care what the answer is. It's roads is the contributing factor for me for getting out there and suppressing fires.
Certainly
first,
one of them,
first
sure.
attack. I know it, when I witnessed it personally when they, on July 15th, the closest fire we've ever had, lightning strike to the ranch. If there wasn't a road, and it was a Jeep trail, really challenging one, for this four-wheel drive dually fire suppression rig to get up there, it would have been just like any of the others, you know, really, really challenging to get to. People on foot, and by the time they got there, it would have been Kelly Hill entirely on fire.
And by the time they get there, they can't carry enough water.
No, and my concern is that, you know, just in the face of this, there's members of our congressional delegation that are looking to do something that is not in the best interest, health, safety, and welfare of our community. It's wrong, and I think that this is a necessary step in that direction. I won't be here long enough to see it come to fruition, but I would challenge the board to keep at it and preemptively trying to put something that's not going to prohibit Congress from acting, but to do something and everything that at least stalls them a little bit. So. If you got that title.
Yes.
I'm happy to work with you on drafting something. It'll probably be taking what was in that resolution and putting it into ordinance.
Okay.
Commissioner Morgan?
I wasn't aware of this one, so thank you for sharing
the
letter.
Oh, absolutely. I just wanted us to be all on the same page because he wanted a letter to come to every member of the board. He just brought it in today.
I think I remember hearing that we each got a copy, but I hadn't read it yet, so.
Do you have anything?
I let Councillor Hicks know yesterday that I received a phone call from Government Affairs liaison with Pacific Power that they are going to be taking legal action against us. So I referred her to Councillor Hicks and immediately notified him that I received the phone call.
All of us or just you? Like taking legal action.
Yeah, the county.
Yeah.
Was it Christine that called you?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And she asked if they could do further negotiations. I said, I am not authorized to negotiate on behalf of the board, but he has been delegated in this matter that we had previously authorized on this issue.
Yeah.
So well, that's why I referred
they're gonna
to you.
Pursue litigation that just automatically falls over to their office for any correspondence in my mind. I'm not gonna get pursued.
I don't mind if you guys sit down and talk. But council needs to be there.
Needs to be in the room, yes.
That's
fine.
I don't have much to talk about. I don't want the fee, I want choice, and I think there was a good point made in the proposed ordinance to require the analog option.
Yes.
So.
Okay.
There is a digital meter, there's an analog meter and a digital meter, and then a radio meter.
I have the digital.
The digital meter basically...
The same thing.
It's basically the same thing. I don't think it reports. One of them... Well, that's not...
I'm not just in choice. That's my paramount.
Correct. Yeah. I agree with your assessment on that.
Yeah. I don't think you can lose when you give the consumer the option. It's mandating one size fits all for everybody because of some ease to the industry is wrong in my mind, because we can accommodate whatever. So people will be able to accommodate whatever. So.
Okay. I brought over to legal a thing from the city of Grants Pass. Every time I go out to Merlin and I get off at the Amsterdam exit, I see panhandling again and again and again and again and again. I would like to see the county put forth an ordinance for panhandling, giving money back and forth between a motorized vehicle and people running out in the street and whatnot from a safety issue. I wanted it to just be for that insect, but if we make a countywide ordinance, it would cover Cave Junction, it would cover anywhere in Josephine County, very
wouldn't
similar.
Wouldn't cover Cave Junction for the city of Grants Pass? Our
no,
ordinance
no, but out there, station. It's there. On this end by the golf course,
yeah,
or whatever.
Illinois Valley,
yeah.
All that.
Yeah. So I would think, you know, if we can craft something, and yes. Also, Roseburg has started. One.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yes.
I think
it's actually, Garden Valley Road. Julie and I have actually started.
Okay, perfect.
One for unincorporated Merlin.
Perfect.
But if that's a discussion we can have to making it countywide if the board desires.
I think if we made it countywide, then it would cover that in case they move somewhere else, like outside of Indian Mary Park or something. It's just, it doesn't put us in a good light in that, and it works, you know, to a certain extent inside the city of Grants Pass, but I don't know about their wording would cover us, but Central Point has one up there off ramp. And they have the number on it. I should take a picture next
yeah, I've
time.
Seen, I've seen city ones. I haven't seen yeah, county one. Right. But no, I can discuss that with the planning director.
Okay. Appreciate it. Is that okay with the board? Commissioner Morgan?
Target approximately 3 to 4 weeks to have something back.
It's been brought up before, and I keep forgetting to tell you. So.
Okay.
Well, really, we've talked about it. We're just
we've talked about
expanding
it,
the scope.
Yes.
But I think, you know, the consensus of the board is let's do some work on it. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you, Wally. Anything else, Chris Morgan? If nothing, we are adjourned at.
No.
Whoa.
Not adjourned. We have Sarah.
Excuse me.
We asked her to come back.
Why don't you say something? Legal counsel's excused and their staff.
I'll come back later.
Yeah, well, we're gonna put that out there on the side so we can get done here. I won't leave the building until it's done. Okay, right. Pat.
I can't move.
Thank you.
Oh my
God. Have to go right by her office anyway.
You got yours.
Welcome.
I have to do it. I can't wait.
Sarah Rubeck just joined us.
Pat thinks they're heavy. They are heavy.
Oh.
I stand corrected.
Good afternoon. So last week we started a discussion outside of executive session about the acquisition or creation of an additional position in emergency management. And you all received the job description last week. I was asked to put together a presentation for all of you. And although I would have loved to have more time to put it together, I did not. So this is the product. That I think I was asked for, and hopefully it's close. So what you have here is essentially the budget goals and objectives that were listed in the budget book this year, of which I was not here early enough this year to participate in the writing of the budget goals. However, they are very, very close to the track we're heading. So
what I would like to point out that these are the BCC office goals that we created.
For emergency management.
No, for the BCC. And this is, I sent two things to you. The ones that are BCC were our actual budget goals as our department. And our goals answer what she's presenting with this.
Great.
So not her department budget goals, but our department goals. I didn't know if you caught the difference. The BCC budget goals of what we wanted to do as a county, and then Does that make sense?
Okay. So, yes, that makes sense what you said, but I think what I ended up doing, Lily, was these are my, out of the budget book, these are copied from the emergency management budget goals. So
the objectives and all the other stuff was what...
So I think...
And the job descriptions.
Perhaps we had a miscommunication, but I think what you have is the emergency management goals that are actually listed in here. So they say BCC budget goals, but I think those are actually the emergency management goals, and I apologize for that.
Ironically, I bet you were probably responsible for a significant portion of the inherited emergency management goals that were outlined in the budget book you probably drafted when you were here last time.
So perhaps.
They look familiar and stellar and right on point. You might get a little credit for that.
Unless they're awful, in which case I take none.
Right?
So, there are three goals listed here in this document, and I've added the objectives straight from job descriptions that fit each budget goal. And I think that the most obvious budget goal that fits the purpose in which we're here today is budget goal number one, which is the community outreach and education, and the objectives that are listed in the job description for that position are listed underneath that budget goal. So I think that the budget goals here are kind of a recap of what you are already aware of. You already know you've been through the budget document, and the one-page handout that I think Simon was looking for is the flowchart.
Stellar.
I'll take it.
Stellar.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. What's difficult for me, and I just have to be perfectly honest, is that I haven't had a whole lot of time really inside the department outside of fire season to really wrap my head around long-term goals. There's a whole lot of immediate to-do things that have to be done to get caught up, a lot of new things in the department. And so this isn't as long-range forecast as I would have hoped had I put something together like this for you as a strategic plan. But this is a really good snapshot of the responsibilities and the work products that our department is responsible for. And I tried to break it out in category based on the different kinds of plans, community resiliency, regulatory and grant, financial communication systems, and different hazards and committees. And what I did was I highlighted in blue the actual specific areas in which this proposed position would be focused on. And most of that obviously falls under community resiliency. There is enough work to be done by a full-time person, without a doubt. And I know that we've been talking about a half-time employee, and I will be happy with whichever is decided. But I just wanted to illustrate that there is plenty to be done for several employees. And I know, Commissioner DeYoung, that one of my main goals in the next year is to make sure that you understand completely what the department is responsible for and what we do outside of busy fire and flood season. I think that there's been a missed opportunity in educating you as to what actually occurs in that office outside of those heightened times. So that's...
I think you've had the opportunity to do that.
No. In the past, as long as you've been in office, and even before that when you were in city council. So I know that that's an important thing for you, and it's important for me for you to understand that as well. So that is a huge goal of mine this year, but this at least puts it onto paper so you can kind of see that it's not... Nowhere on this sheet here does it say respond to fire season. Those responses to those kinds of things are in addition to this regular work. So based on a very quick conversation that we had last week, I hope that I captured what you were looking for to kind of illustrate the need and the workload in the department to justify that extra assistance.
And so what I heard you say is that even with taking on the City of Grant's past contract, there's enough work with the plans and the needs that need to be done, even with the two of you, to still justify this much more.
Let me reword your question to make sure I understood it correctly. So what you're at, so what I'm saying is this is the work that needs to be accomplished for both city and county. So it's almost twice as much. Mm-hmm. Because when we look at these plans...
This is just one thing, but you have to do it twice.
we have to, not necessarily twice, but we have to include a whole additional organization, which we haven't done before. So some plans, like the Natural Hazard Mitigation Plan that the county leads, we get to include the city. Emergency operations plans, that will be done twice.
Is there something that covers everything? In other words, city and county both, that's the base. But the city has these things, extras, and the county has these special points in that. But is there just a groundwork for, okay, across the board, in other words, we don't have to worry about the city water filtration plant. That's in the city side, what they need to do. But countywide, we do need to worry about water, where it's going to come from. And then, is there an amended...
Your question is, I'm is saying there a base, plan that a covers base, everything?
Yeah, that covers city and county both, parts of it.
There are elements that are covered in both.
Both,
the
that's
natural hazard...
Is there elements
the
that we get...
would have at the fire plan.
Get how they, how the two are alike, the city and county are alike in certain ways.
Yeah.
And then there's an amendment for the city because they have things that we don't have in the county.
So,
and vice versa.
So... Mm. If I understand your question, so there's not, unfortunately, there's not one comprehensive plan that includes everything for the city or the county. There are numerous types of plans that I have to write for different reasons. Some of them, it makes sense to include the city in those plans, and some of those it does not, which is right along what
well,
you're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't have a good illustration of...
But is there some thing... Like, for instance, a driver's license covers me to drive anything until I need a driver's license for commercial. Then I need to do that. I just ask him.
I don't think there is any such thing.
There's
different, like I said, there's different types of plans for different types of things, and some of them it makes sense to include the city of Grants Pass and the city of Cave Junction, and some it does not. Very specific operational plans, like the emergency operations plan, there will still always have to be a city and a county plan until there is some agreement somewhere that says that they will always respond to emergencies, large disasters together.
When the ground's shaking and this building's a pile of rubble and stuff, I don't think
but it leads on to public works and the sheriff. Your first responsibility
right.
is not going to be in the city.
Not in the city. No, it's in the county.
You have very different statutory
loops. Where you're going to go, you know, your primary instinct is to jump, you know, let's get those bridges that we're responsible for. Let's get
okay.
that kind of stuff.
All we got to do is say, no, Dan, there's two different plans, and she's going to do both plans.
It's true.
Yeah.
And I'm fine.
No, Dan, there are two different plans.
I just
want
to
do both of them.
It's hard for me to get my arms around that there, if, you know, it's like saying, well, no, that's a county fire and not a city fire.
It's that core focus of responsibility.
Yes.
And it also comes down to different statutory responsibility.
Okay.
So you, the commissioners, are not going to write a plan that says you are going to be responsible for things that happen within the city. I am going to be responsible through a contract to write a plan for the city about their statutory responsibility
okay.
in an emergency.
Okay,
so,
I'm not going to micromanage. I tried that just about for about 5 minutes and didn't work. So I'm going to you put together what you think needs to be done because you're the professional.
Right.
And far be it for me to do that.
And I think for me, I really appreciate you putting this together because it kind of puts it more in paperwork. And when we first talked about this, one of the things we stated is, we want you to have this. Would you be okay with that? And I remember you looking at us and saying, wait, I've asked for one. You're offering me 1.5 and you're asking if that's okay. We initiated this.
Yeah, we did. We saw the need. I think your reference of the county, the board's goals is paramount for that overarching guiding, you know, direction. But then, you know, you're given half an FTE with a focus on this, but we don't know how it fits into the broader system of, did you just take 30% of that previous person's job responsibilities?
Right.
Now, what are we doing with that? I wanted this
yep.
to really tell me where is stuff going and how did that just work out? Because I don't want a board, two boards down the road from you guys saying, what did they do? This has no justification. You've got 2.5 people and only a 1.5 probably responsibility with a contract you've already signed. Or you've got three people's responsibility and you've got 2.5 people here.
The city may decide, okay, we've got the plan now, and we can put a half a person over here and take care of the plan, and then you guys don't need to worry about it. It's hard to say.
Where's the coop in this?
It is under plans.
Right there.
Left column, right here. That is, and what I want to point out about...
Oh, and over here too? Oh, no, we're looking the same way.
Left on her side.
What I would like to point out is that this box right here that contains all of the different plans.
That's you.
Well, sure, that's me. But each individual line on here is a whole separate plan, which includes a whole separate process. So, like one line here, I guess it looks like two lines now, is the Rogue Valley Integrated Fire Plan. So that is, I mean, when you look at the how much work is just in that one box and creating plans. That's pretty significant. I don't know how to illustrate, and it would have taken me longer to break out each of those plans and what the...
There's subsets of...
Exactly, know. Exactly.
Where's the CWPP?
That is the Rogue Valley. That's right there in this, that left, right, plan. It's right down there. RVIFP or CWPP.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Oh, RV, yeah. Jeez.
Natural Hazard Mitigation Plan is there. The COOP is there.
Read.
And the emergency operations plan. So debris management plan, damage assessment. There are numerous plans listed in that one box. So just to kind of get a concept of, you know, that just because there's only 10 items in that one box doesn't mean that's a super easy box. Each of those items is a plan and a process and a lengthy assignment.
Do you have any clarity for the other gray areas about a division of duties between you and Emily?
I do not yet.
Yeah.
I mean, we are a day and a
half. It'll probably be strengths. If she started?
Yeah. She started yesterday.
She was at our meeting today, too.
Yeah. I had her for an hour yesterday, and
yeah,
I've spent an hour
really
with her today.
You're just paying for it right now.
Exactly. So I apologize.
Well,
am I done yet?
Yeah, she's trained, right?
Yeah.
She had 2 hours.
Well, and the
you tell me how good you are.
I am good.
However, Crystal,
it's all a matter of time.
When you were applying for this job, I mean, gosh.
Well, and honestly, one of the parts is what we've promised city is to do an assessment and help them get to what they need to as well. We need that as well as the county. It's going to be work. And we haven't ever had the time to get those done because we've had one person doing that, and this is...
Well, thank you very much for putting all this together because that's what we ask you to do.
Welcome.
And I think from now on that we just need to carry forward, carry on, and then bring us an update from time to time, schedule updates as you get something going, and you just show us how far along on this plan you are. We'll keep this as your roadmap, okay?
Yes, and what I would also like to share is what the goal for me to be able to share information with you is through a strategic plan and an annual report, and actually have product that documents our progress. So this is a lot of stuff that happens, and it's not very easy just to give a list of, hey, I did these 27 things. I would like to provide, and this is my favorite that I've ever found, is a strategic plan, so we're all on the same page, and an annual report so that we can document our progress and share it with the community as well.
And along that line, we have a state of the county every year that you weren't involved in last year.
Yeah.
Be prepared, because this is going to be one of the things I think would be a really good, it's going to be a really good presentation.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you've got
no pressure.
Big shoes to fill because there weren't shoes here last year. But boy, I'll tell you, the rest of the department heads, you got your work cut out to keep up with them.
I did watch it online.
They did a really good job.
I know. I thought so too. Especially Mike Weber. He was stellar.
Okay.
I'm going to lose my voice.
Any other questions for...
Yeah, I know there was some irony in that one because I was like, I don't remember his presentation.
So last week, the job description was presented. It has been submitted to HR as a draft. There's... I guess from where do we go from here?
I think that provides clarity to make sure that the job description reflects what it is you're looking to accomplish here. And part of my nexus of trying to get my head around is the job description correct is how are you outfitting your organization, your program. And so I think, you know, dovetailing by next Tuesday, because I'll do it while I'm gone, that we would have that job description approved and ready to publish that week. And look to, I think we've got an internal candidate. And so I'm not sure what the requirements are for a part-time, if it's an internal posting for a week or what have you, to move that along. But I think that my expectation is all of this can be accomplished with the selection made and job offer and all that negotiated by the end of October. I know that's pretty quick, but at the same time, I think we can do it. And this will be invaluable, I believe, in the future. And I know it was kind of a heavy lift for you this weekend.
Okay.
But I think we're going to be well served in the future by this. I've never had this. I've tried to understand. For 8 years, I've worked with Sarah and Jenny and great people, but I couldn't do this if my life depended on it. I know what the things that I am passionate about, care about, whether they're on here, even though I don't know the acronyms when I read them.
Sarah said it's all right. It's just 1 weekend, and realize she'll never get back.
I could do another version with all the acronyms spelled out if you'd like. It just wouldn't fit on the 8.5 by 11.
I can see Coop when it's pointed out to me. I don't know how else to spell it. COOP, that spells moon.
Tom Cullen.
It is a Stephen King.
Tom Cullen.
Yeah.
Are we okay? Any other questions?
Okay, so we're going to bring back the job description on Tuesday.
Right.
Yeah, let's have both HR and bring it together.
Okay.
HR needs to be involved.
Move it forward, and then you guys work out whatever with HR is a compliant way of retaining our preferred applicant. I think we can make a selection.
It is a BCC staff person, and the job description, the job falls under our office, which we have had the authority to do that.
Good. Whatever it takes to get it done, but I really see it as in your program, right? Or you're under the board.
That's why it's in our department. So,
sounds great.
Okay. Sarah, thank you.
Thanks.
It was kind of interesting meeting this morning, the bear meeting, bar meeting, whatever you call it. It's just forest lands, but the potential of runoff and flooding and all that other kind of stuff.
Have you guys been out to tour anything?
I haven't yet.
Streeter's out of town for a little while. When he gets back, you need to hit the ground. Oh. This is a phenomenal time to see it before it does rain and they're moving wood. I've seen a couple of videos of it.
I saw his one video he sent.
It's incredibly dusty. It's dirty work. The saving grace, I've been out in the forest cutting wood. The brush that you don't have to deal with because there's nothing on the ground floor, I tried to see as a selling point. I mean, it's real positive. You can get out there and set chokers and cut trees, and you don't have to worry about ticks or anything.
Only rattlesnakes. One of the things that I did see a lot of charred logs going through Orland today when I was having lunch.
So. Well, we're working on a plan. We've got 6 or 7 loads. I don't know exactly where I'm going to put them yet to do the milling. I'll need the board to approve a contract with a prospective miller that I have to get it done. 6 or 7 loads ought to be able to get us everything we need for the work for the horse arena, the fair arena. Ryan's working on the supply plan for the A-frame style things so we can know exactly what we need for that. And I wanted to check in with Sarah about park benches and picnic tables. Those are pretty specific things, and she likes a big chunk
thick
of wood
mm-hmm.
on there. So
mm-hmm.
those are expensive if you go to Home Depot or Diamond or something. So if we can get those milled up in that
can we approach the school system about a project for building some of these things?
Could be
like
sure.
like park benches and picnic tables and
because
I think you mentioned at one point in time at one of our meetings that you wanted to have like the sign for the parks have some extras built in case somebody backed over one instead of having to go out and reinvent the wheel and whatnot. That we would have if we need 15 of them, build 30 of them.
I think
we
if you buy them one at a time, they're extremely expensive to have somebody come up with it from scratch. But once they do a jig,
and all the materials are there, it's all green, it's workable, it's malleable, put them all together, and then we'll just change the center section to whatever it needs to be in the other park or whatever. Because there's some that are going to get destroyed just in the fact that we'll back over one or a motorhome or something, somebody old timer with his motorhome and his fifth wheel on the back.
Just some darn vandal.
Like me, and I'll run over it, and then it'll be done. Okay, anything else?
If you can think of another purpose for wood, let's just think about it.
Yeah, I'd like to think on it. I have some time on a plane tomorrow.
We have extra logs coming to them.
That's great, thank you.
When I bought the property up on Highland, to put my office in there. There was an old house and a barn on there. And we took the boards off the barn and put them in our offices. And then I had my dad make me a desk out of the barn wood. Mm. Oh, gorgeous. And then when the elderly lady that we bought it from, she was from Boise, Idaho. And once a year, she'd show up in a taxi cab out in front. And I had to take her to lunch. Mm-hmm. But she always wanted to go to the offices and see the boards that came off. She just thought that was the neatest thing in the whole wide world.
It might be something I've wanted to see when you go over to Jackson County's conference room. Mm. It's really nice, really, really well done. I don't think that we have any need for that kind of an ostentatious congressional style, but I think a wainscot around
right.
here would be
right.
really, really nice.
Might so. Add that Pacific Northwest theme to it. So.
Yeah.
Okay, if there's nothing else, we're adjourned at 2:50.
Thank you.